On this episode, we rank all 16 roller coasters from both Universal Orlando Resort and Walt Disney World. Today is March 14th, 2023, and this is episode 547 of the Main Street Magic Podcast.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely wife, Rhonda.
Hey, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, as well as follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at mainstmagic. And then if you've not done so already, head out to Facebook and search for the Main Street Magic community and ask to join. Then if you hit that subscribe button, you get brand new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Now, we know how tough it can be to get those must-have dining reservations at 60 days out, but don't worry, Mouse Dining will remove the frustration of booking Disney dining reservations, alerting you when they spot availability for your desired restaurant, date, meal, and time, and this really does work. Visit msmfriends.com to use this free service. All right, now that we are fresh off of riding Tron Light Cycle Run, brand new at Magic Kingdom, we just did our pass holder preview just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Last Thursday.
Yep.
We thought it would be a lot of fun to take all of the roller coasters between the two parks that we go to, which would include Universal Orlando Resort, Walt Disney World, take all 16 of those roller coasters and rank them from top down to bottom.
What constitutes a good roller coaster for you?
I'm hoping we'd be similar. I think there's a few things. Story, theming.
Okay.
Thrill.
Okay.
Like, do you need a roller coaster to be thrilling? Or is it
so
okay
much.
If it's a little chill? Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some of these elements as we go through. You know,
okay.
I think it's very different if you go to somewhere like, we haven't been, but like Cedar Point, which known for roller coasters. But the theming might not quite be there and the storyline might not quite be there. But I know that according to most people, they have some of the best roller coasters in North America based on thrill, speed, things like that. So that's kind of what we're going to break down as we go through this. We'll talk about each one.
Okay.
Whenever Tron shows up on this list,
we will
discuss a bit more and our preview and we'll get a little more depth. I mean, these other 15 coasters, most people will know, be very familiar with. So we can kind of just ask, you know, or talk about our reasoning. First, Rhonda, what we're going to do is we're going to go through, we're going to give you the ride, which park it's at. We'll let you know the minimum height requirement in case you're planning a trip and you got kids or something. And you're like, will they fit on this coaster?
Yeah.
How long the ride is from beginning to end and its top speed. So let's start with our number 16 ranked roller coaster. Who is that?
That is Barnstormer. That is at Magic Kingdom. Your height is a minimum of 35 inches. The length is 53 seconds. And it only goes 25 miles per hour.
Spoiler alert, this is the shortest coaster on our list as far as length of ride
goes. It's super
goes.
Cute, though.
It's adorable. I mean,
for little kids that are 35 inches
introduction,
and
right?
taller.
Yeah.
I mean, can't be shorter.
we went through all this. Remember when we talked about this in an episode previously about, you know, certain of these based on your child, this could be a great introductory coaster for if they've never, ever ridden. Whereas you might not put them on, you know, let's just say they're 40 inches, but they've never done a coaster. This might still be the place to start if they tend to be a little bit scared.
Right.
It's cute. It fits well with the land and the theming there in Magic Kingdom.
And it feels very roller coastery.
It is.
That is the word.
It's a straight up roller coaster. It just happens to be one that you could potentially find at your local county fair. You know, it's
that makes sense.
It looks like it was put up overnight.
It does, but it wasn't.
No, it was not. It is there. It is a permanent fixture. Next on the list is number 15, which I think is very similar.
And we did ride this, and this was fun.
Yeah.
This is Flight of Hippogriff, and this is at Islands of Adventure. 36 inches or taller. This is 1 minute and 6 seconds, and it goes only 21 miles per hour. So it's slower than Barnstormer. It's a little bit longer, obviously. Yeah. And this was super cute, too. And yeah, I basically compare the two, I feel like.
To me, they're apples and oranges as far as ride goes. The only reason we picked Flight of Hippogriff above Barnstormer is it's in Wizarding World. I mean, the theming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even down to the actual roller coaster cart.
Yeah.
And being a hippogriff, like, it's cute. And it's got the little animatronic and all. So that's the only reason it takes over.
I would say they're not apples to oranges. I would say they're apples to apples because it is a Barnstormer is a flight of Goofy.
Yeah, like, that's true. Like a plane. The great Goofini.
And then Flight of Hippogriff is the flight. And then they're both tiny little seats where...
Hippogriff has that netting.
Yeah.
Which makes you think it might be a little more serious than it really is.
Well, I think it's actually more comfortable than like the Barnstormer.
Oh, it definitely is.
Because like, okay, you have a 36 inch child, let's say 36 or 35 and taller. So you go to ride this, you can't just put the child on the ride and go have fun when you're 6'3".
Right.
So you have to get in as well. And Barnstormer is unfortunately really tight.
It is.
Even for me is hard, like with my bag and with everything. Flight of Hippogriff was, I felt like a little bit more like with the netting. Yeah. I was like,
it's smoother.
It is smoother. So, but I feel like it is very apples to apples.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just think the theming in general in the land that it's in is what takes Hippogriff way beyond.
100%.
All right. Those two are easy, right? And we sat here and we discussed all this pre-show and we started saying, all right, well, what are your top three? What are your bottom three? Let's fill in the pieces. As we basically get into our top 14 and to avoid any hate mail, these are our opinions. These are what we love. Now, we did take, again, that thought of theming, thrill, storyline, and we certainly put that into our thoughts of ranking these. You could rank them in any other way you want and you would be correct. So this is the way that we feel, and we're going to go to number 14. And I'll be honest, like those first two were easy to put them there.
Yes. These are starting to get...
Honestly, from 14 down to probably like 7 was really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
What is number... Actually, 14 was pretty easy for me. What was number 14?
14 was easy for me, too.
Okay.
It is Space Mountain. That is at Magic Kingdom. You have to be 44 inches or taller. And this is a 2-minute and 30-second ride. And the fastest it goes is 27 miles per hour.
Which shocks most people.
Yes, it does. I think it is because it is dark.
Yeah.
I think you take and put dark, even at night, in a car... And I feel like you're going faster than you actually are. So I understand it. But
there's also a lot of curves and turns.
And you don't know which way you're going to go.
Right. And that makes it, I think, feel so much more intense.
Yeah.
Never ridden it with the lights on, but I would be so interested. I think it would be scarier in the sense that you can literally see, like, for myself, like, hey, I'm about to be decapitated. Like, because that thing looks like a... Yeah, one of the Kinect sets that, you know, I played with as a kid.
Yes.
And we've ridden through and seen it with the lights on, and it's horrifying. And
every time you ride and I'm behind you, I almost like...
Waiting for like blood splatter?
No, but I... No.
I duck. I can't help but hunch down.
I want to hunch for you. I see it and I'm like, oh God, like, please...
I mean, you know, the other thing that makes this fall way down the list is that it's, and maybe it's just the older we get, but it's getting rougher and rougher. It's not very smooth. To me, it's not a ton of fun anymore.
I enjoyed the Christmas one.
I did like that. That actually brought a little bit of thrill back to it.
I think because
of
the
enjoyment.
Lighter, it was actually a lot lighter. It had green and red stuff, lasers or whatever. And that was fun.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That was fun.
All right, let's move next to number 13, which I think might surprise a lot of people.
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That is also at Magic Kingdom. You only have to be 38 inches or taller. This is a 2-minute and 50-second ride with 34 mile per hour. Now, the reason it sounds so long is because of when it kind of, what is it, stops.
Yeah, when you're in the mine.
Goes in the mine and it's really slow.
Yeah. I don't know the timing of that exact portion, but it's got to be well above a minute. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a minute and a half. So, which means you're only leaving another minute and 20 seconds for the rest of the ride. That's, you know, what? Yeah. Roughly just say 45 seconds on the front end, 45 seconds on the back end.
Yep.
This is one of those where I think you go through and it's very well themed.
Oh,
very well themed. I'd put it up there with some of the best. And
very
maybe
smooth,
that could be a
too.
Very smooth. I like the rocking of
That's
the
cool.
cart helps a lot when you take the turns. It makes it that much more smooth. It's just, you know, they had limited area to put this in. Maybe that's why it's so short. But I know you come out of that mine and you go into that drop, that secondary drop, and you're like, yes, this is about, oh, it's over. And you're done.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I just think, again, and we've talked about this a lot of times, the payoff for this ride is not worth what the standby wait is for what you end up getting. So I don't know if that surprised people, but let's move on to number 12, which is about as polar opposite of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train as you can get. We're finally moving. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We already did Islands.
Yeah.
But we're going to head back over to Universal Orlando Resort to the studio side. And what are we talking about?
Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket. Universal Studios. 51 inches you have to be. And this is actually, shockingly, only a minute and 39 seconds.
Yeah.
And it goes 65 miles per hour. And the reason I say shockingly, because I do feel like it's longer than that.
I do, too. I think it's because of those stops.
Maybe.
That makes it feel a little longer. I know for me personally, when we were, you know, going back and forth and talking about this.
I'm like, Tina's going to be so mad at
us. I know, right?
She loves this ride.
Again, this is one, maybe as we get older, it hurts a little more.
Yeah.
It's not as smooth as I felt it used to be when I started riding it 3-4 years ago. There really is no theming and there really is no storyline.
I just started to say, there's no, the only fun part is you get to pick a song in how many seconds though? Like it, you got to pick quick.
Yeah. Talk about, hey, do you have anxiety? Yeah. Boy, do I have the ride for you. Yeah. Pick a song now.
Right.
I can't get to it. Still, I will say in my, I've not done every song, but Finger 11 Paralyzer is my favorite song on that ride.
Yeah.
When the chorus hits, oh, it hits. So good. There's also a complete secret playlist that I've never attempted because I looked up the directions online and really talk about having anxiety. I don't think I could get through all of that.
Is there a bunch of things you have to do?
Oh, yeah. It's like a whole process getting through everything. Lord. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great ride. You know, it is one of those where you're walking up to studios and you're just like, what's that? Because you can see it from everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And literally to the point where if you're coming out from, you just say you're coming from Islands of Adventure and you're walking over into the studio side, you walk right past it by the old Blue Man Group entrance and you can see people just coming around.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that lift where you are on your back going up.
You almost feel like you're, what's the right word? I don't know the degree, but you almost feel like you're going to fall out. Like you're not like on your back. You're like actually tilted more.
Right. Yeah.
I also believe it closes down if the wind's too
crazy.
Yes,
it does. Yeah. Yeah. When you have a ride that it's closed down because of some wind, then you know it's up there. Like there's a danger. I would love to have this exact same concept built brand new today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with.
Yeah. So how do they do that? So when they're old like this, how do they make them like ones
refurb
that
them
it.
To
yeah how do you
know.
Make it like a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train?
I don't know. I'd
Very
have to
smooth.
Ask. I could probably ask Logan, but you know, my guess is I don't know how much would come down to the existing track and how much would come down to the ride vehicle and all of that. You know what I mean? Like
right.
I don't know if you could completely swap out Space Mountain's ride vehicle, Rip Ride Rocket's ride vehicle, keep the track the same. I'm not sure which one takes more wear and tear. I just don't know.
Right.
But yeah, maybe Logan can answer for us.
Okay.
But I would be very interested.
Good
could you?
Question,
could you?
Though,
yeah.
Right?
A very good question. All right. We're going to move on to number 11, which I think is a good follow up to Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket. And this again comes down to personal preference. This does not come down to what makes a great straight up roller coaster.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because
it is an outstanding roller coaster.
It is. And that is Incredible Hulk Coaster at Islands of Adventure. You have to be 48 inches or taller, and this is an actual 2-minute and 15-second ride with as fast as 67 miles per hour.
So our fastest coaster yet.
Yep.
I'm actually shocked it only clocks in at 2 minutes and 15 seconds. It feels much longer, I think.
I also agree.
Which is a great benefit
to it. I think, if I remember correctly, the last time I counted, I think there's like 8 possible or maybe
inversions.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, there's so many.
I mean, this is an outstanding coaster. And anybody who wants to message us and say we are wrong on this ranking, I would not argue whatsoever.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't. Comes down to personal preference for us.
It does, because, again, it's hard on our bodies, and mm-hmm. like it shakes my head around. Yeah. And, yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, again, would totally swap this with some of the other ones coming up, and I wouldn't be mad at you. So based on it being a really, really good coaster, it is thrilling. It is. I like the actual.
Actually
like the four seaters. Yeah, it has a story as you go in. It's got a wonderful queue. That initial launch
is
outstanding. So I really do love this coaster. It is just we just don't choose to ride it because of the way it makes us feel.
Correct.
All right, let's move on to number 10. Again, let's go polar opposites back over to Walt Disney World. What's at our number 10?
Slinky Dog Dash at Hollywood Studios, and you have to be 38 inches or taller. This is 2 minutes, and this only goes 40 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I think I expected it to go a little faster than that for some reason.
But, I absolutely love this ride.
I do too.
I really do. It's so fun.
And I think the 2 minutes clocks in at that is because it stops, backs up, and then like you slinky in, and then boom.
Oh yeah, that secondary launch is a blast.
It is.
And I love the initial launch that you go up around that corner, and you can look over and see all of Toy Story Land.
Yeah.
And it gives you a very slight half a second of that weightlessness as you come around. That is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think the theming is outstanding of this being something, that Andy built it's really, really good. And it is a great, coaster for the whole family. Assuming again, everybody in your family is at least 38 inches tall, but it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a great addition to Hollywood Studios. It really needed something like this as Hollywood was more of the thrill park, to begin with. All right. We're going to move on to number 9, which I personally think, I know it's one of your favorites.
It's one of my favorites.
I think it's one of the most interesting coasters on the list because this is, I don't know how to explain it, because I wouldn't compare it to like the previous Splash Mountain, which has coaster elements. But this is unlike any other coaster on this list.
And if you're curious what we're talking about.
I hope they are.
We are
trying
talking
to add some intrigue.
About- and- Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts. This is at Universal Studios. You have to be 42 inches or taller. This clocks in at 5 minutes, and it only goes up to 25 miles per hour.
That I'm extremely surprised by.
I think I am too.
Speed. I'm not surprised by the 5 minutes because you stop for all these show scenes.
Yes, I agree.
And that's what makes this ride like nothing else.
Yep.
And what I think makes it
incredible. I love this
ride
so much.
Yeah,
it's
I do too.
So fun.
I think the only reason it didn't go higher on our list is because it's such an untraditional roller coaster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because of the stop and show points of it, which I don't know what it would do if it continued.
If you just went straight through the entire thing without like stopping periods, of show?
That'd be A, very short.
Right.
And then B, it would probably not be as fun, I would think.
Well, I think if you said, all right, here's what we're doing. We're ranking roller coasters, but it's based on the overall attraction element. This is easy top five.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, looking at our list and what we haven't said, if we were saying, all right, we're going to rank roller coasters based on their storyline, this is number one. Because it tells a story from beginning to end. From the moment you enter the queue. Heck, the moment you enter Wizarding World in Diagon Alley.
Oh, yeah.
This tells the story as you approach Gringotts, as you go through the lobby, as you go through the entire queue, you go through the vault and the elevator, all the way through it, telling an actual story while you're on it. In my opinion, there's only one other on here that tells a story kind of while you're still on it that we'll talk about. So this is an outstanding ride.
Mm-hmm.
I don't tend to put it on the roller coaster list, though.
Yep.
You know, it is I'll on the agree. Roller coaster list, Rhonda. Number 8. What is that?
Yeah, this is the one. Again, Tina's going to hate me. I don't think she listens, so that's good.
No.
But
don't tell her.
Revenge of the Mummy. And this is at Universal Studios. You have to be 48 inches or taller. And I think this surprises me, too, how long it is. 2 minutes and 57 seconds, and it only goes 40 miles per hour.
That's surprising as well. But we have a lot of stop and start points.
Let's see. Where's the one that I was looking at? Yeah, I guess it is a little surprising because the next one on our list is what I would compare it to.
I agree. I think Revenge of the Mummy is a lot of fun. It gets that. The reason it feels so short is because you're thinking of actual thrill time as opposed to ride time.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of the introduction, when you go through that whole area and they're all popping up and you got the, you know, silence and then you stop again and you go backwards and then you stop again and the mummy comes back and then you end. And it's just like there's all these stopping points that I think makes it feel so much shorter, even though it actually extends the ride.
Yeah.
Well, what is number 7, I'm sorry, that seems most comparable to Revenge of the Mummy other than the fact that this one has inversions?
Yeah, and we are talking about Rockin' Roller Coaster over at Hollywood Studios. Same height, 48 inches. This is only 1 minute and 22 seconds. It does get up to 57 miles per hour, though. And that's why I think I'm surprised at Mummy being 40. Because of Rockin' being 57 miles per hour.
Yeah, I mean, they have, in many ways, they have a similar launch at the launch period, you know. Mm-hmm. But Rockin' has to be so much more of an aggressive launch because it immediately goes into an inversion.
Yep.
And you're not getting around that thing if you're going 40 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not going to be fun for anyone. Yeah, I mean, they're both in the dark. They are both a bit thrilling. They both use the effects of black light and, you know, turns. You don't know exactly when a turn's coming. I just think Rockin' Roller Coaster is the better all over, you know, better overall coaster
absolutely.
For sure
100%.
Amongst these two.
Absolutely.
Mummy Returns reminds, or Revenge, I'm sorry, I always want to call it that. Revenge of the Mummy reminds me of, this is going to sound weird, a permanent state fair ride. Like if a state fair...
Barnstormer?
Barnstormer seems like something they could put up overnight and then it's gone in a week. This has the elements of what a carnival or a state fair ride would have, but as a permanent fixture. And I think of that because of these blacklit cardboard cutouts and the smoke effects and like, I don't know, there's something about it. It feels like your old school haunted house meets a roller coaster, and then they were like, you know what? Let's make it good enough to put it in a park and be a blast, because I absolutely love this ride, and we do it every single time we go.
Yeah. I mean, I do it. I don't love it, but I do.
Okay. Well, going back to what you're saying is, how do you fix a ride that's gotten a little rough?
Yeah.
I don't think they know, because they went through a lengthy refurbishment, and it's just as rough, if not a little bit rougher.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they were focusing on a lot of the effects and those elements. Making sure those statues pop up, making sure timing of fire was right, making sure timing of smoke was right. You know, they were doing all those things. I don't know if they put any focus on the ride vehicle or the track, but
I
that's kind of where it falls. So
I
will say our top 6 are very tough, and I think the next two are interchangeable. What is number 6, which is one of my all-time favorites, of
it
course.
Is. And this is Expedition Everest over at Animal Kingdom. You have to be 44 inches or taller. And this clocks in at 2 minutes and 50 seconds and goes up to 50 miles per hour.
I have said it a million times. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful coaster. But when you're going backwards, spoiler alert, and... you've had plenty of time to ride it, guys. By the way, we will be, I don't think I talked to you about this, and I forget, maybe I mentioned it. We will be there for the 25th anniversary of Animal Kingdom, because it's on our anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I wasn't adding up that this is the 25th, and we did the 20th on our anniversary.
Oh, my goodness. That's
so cool. We need to make a point to get over there. I don't know what they're doing yet. They haven't announced anything. It's also Earth Day.
Right.
Which is much more important than our anniversary,
of
but
course.
Just by a little bit. Anyway. I think when you go back forward after you've gone backwards, you stop before you do the drop. I think it is one of the best I don't know if that's 45 seconds or what at that point, of a coaster you can have. It's so good.
Kind of like that part, but then like the going in the
you
circle,
don't like the backwards.
Like, I don't like the backwards because it just kind of makes my head feel funny.
Oh yeah.
And then after you get off that, then I feel like you go in a like the circle like three times.
It's so good.
That I don't love. I feel like it's almost like, all right, we're gonna make this awesome coaster, but we don't have a lot of space.
Yeah.
So what are we gonna do? We're going to make you go up. We're going to make you go backwards. We're going to make you go in circles five times. Like, I mean, it again, I ride it because of you.
Yeah.
I do not love. If we go, I'm not like, oh, I got to ride it.
Right. You're not the factor saying, let's go do it.
Correct.
I always am. And yep. I'll sing a rider if I have to over and over. I absolutely love it. It was hard. I think, again, as we're doing this as a team. And a collective voting yeah. is the reason that our number five is at number five.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Expedition
like
Everest wasn't. Yeah. Oh, yes. And you cannot argue that this is top tier, old school, awesome roller coaster. So good.
And we are talking about Big Thunder Mountain at Magic Kingdom. You have to be 40 inches or taller. And this clocks in at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. But it only goes up to 36 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I feel like that goes faster, too.
Yeah.
I think the reason some of these I feel like should go faster is because a lot of them, like, let's see, how do I say it? It's almost like you're in convertible. When you're in a convertible, like, when you're outside and you're going fast, like, it seems faster. But when you're... Well,
you bring up a great point because... Just for comparison, as we talk about these speeds, Test Track, which you're in a convertible, top speed is 65 miles per hour.
Literally.
Right. You feel like you're going so much faster on that straightaway. So you raise a really good point. And I think same thing. You know, you have you're outside. I say that turn over the river. Like you feel like you're going a lot faster. Length of this ride is outstanding, you know, coming in at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. I think you have two different separate going up and your drops, like, it's just, I love the queue. I love kind of the old school story.
I love going
story.
Through
like,
everything too. Like when so you go good. Through the, where the bats are yep. and the caves, stalagmites and stalactites. And then
which are which?
Stalagmites are mighty and they come up. Stalactites are from the ceiling because they're holding on tight.
Okay. I never remember what's what. But that'll probably help me. I know you knew that.
A long time ago. Well, I've been grateful and thankful, and I know I've said it multiple times, but I've traveled a lot in the United States, and my parents took us to caverns, and I think that is exactly how they said it.
No, it makes perfect sense. So, do you remember if you ever went to Luray Caverns in Virginia?
I know you've
Virginia?
Asked me.
Yeah, that's where we used to go.
I do not remember that.
I've been to Big Thunder Mountain Caverns.
Yeah, I started to say, I feel like if you could name some...
Luray Caverns is literally the only one I know.
Oh,
so
I started to say, if you could name some
else out.
Other ones, because I really am trying to remember.
I cannot, but I love this ride. All right, this is going to get interesting. We're getting into our top four. At number four, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about...
Yep.
Brand new. Mm-hmm. What on earth could it be?
Tron Light Cycle Run Magic Kingdom. You have to be 48 inches or taller. This clocks in at 2 minutes and it goes up to 59 miles per hour.
Now, one thing I'll say real quick is that, and we're only doing this comparison, and we'll talk about this a bit, of the length of ride, is that, and I don't, well, we'll actually, to be honest, we're going to spoil a few things with Tron.
So
I don't think there's
a lot,
but
know,
yeah, if you don't want, just skip ahead or something. Skipping. But it's actually 60 seconds from the actual launch to the return to the bay. So that's your really ride time. The 2 minutes is the vehicle starts moving until it comes to a complete stop, if that makes sense.
Okay. But I feel like that's still all part of the ride.
I agree. I think it is too. And you're not saying that about anything else. Like, now, I'm not 100% sure when you factor in the Rock and Roller Coaster length. I don't know if they're saying that's from launch to return, but think about Rock and Roller Coaster as you come out and you literally count down.
Right.
So if you're, and I'm pretty sure this is included, from my understanding, Rock and Roller Coaster actual ride time from launch to return is shorter than Tron.
Okay.
Not necessarily overall ride time. Talk a little bit about the AP preview. We can talk more about the ride as doing it for our first time.
Well, it was super fun because we actually, or we, Jeremy, picked the time that was sunset. Sunset.
Yeah.
Because he did hear that it was a lot more fun at night.
Yeah.
So I was super excited. And gosh, going into this, this was so cool. Everything was so cool. And we went in and seeing everything was amazing. And I had some anxiety because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how I was going to feel. But yeah, it was super, super cool. The whole getting your, with your magic band, your locker.
Locker system was great.
And it's a nice big locker. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about squishing my bag. I love these lockers. Yeah. They're amazing. And, you know, you get the number and you say it to Jeremy or your people in your party.
Don't say it to me. I'm probably not there with you.
I said it to Jeremy. We both said it out loud.
Yeah. Like, so here's the deal. I'll just try to explain a little bit more.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. First of all, you're right. The lockers are bigger. I'm comparing them obviously over to Universal. You can pay for bigger lockers there, but the ones that are included, you can barely squeeze a lounge fly into.
Yes.
Right? These, plenty of space. A lot of times at Universal, we have to get multiple lockers to fit multiple items and things. The Universal system, you have lockers are in each bay, and there's a central scan system of your pass, and then your locker opens. And it could be 3-4 over, you know what I mean? Individually, you scanned at your locker number. And the reason I say I like this better is a lot of times you can get a backup over at the Universal side of people waiting to scan at the central location for that bay.
Yeah.
This one, you can walk right up to it, you know, which I really, really love. If you did not remember your locker number and you only have a couple minutes to forget it, so just, I mean, whatever, make a note in your phone. You can carry your phone on you, but any other loose items, bags, things like that will have to go in a locker. You can ask a cast member, they can scan your band. They can tell you, hey, this is the locker number you were at.
Oh, cool.
But I thought the exiting process and getting your stuff back was so much quicker.
But just, I'm going to what would this be? Just be nice and take all your stuff out and move away.
Yeah. Before you start getting your stuff back and together,
like,
and
putting your ears on, get it all out. And because you're still standing there. So a very nice lady was standing there and ours was below hers. And she heard me behind her and then she was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then she kind of realized and got all her stuff and moved very quickly and was great. But I was thinking, okay, note to self, I'm going to say out loud as just a friendly reminder, just grab it all out, back up, because sometimes somebody might be coming and they're right under you. But that's what's great, because you so different with this one, because you don't know. You could go and there's nobody around at that point.
Oh,
whatever.
So, I like this system a lot. And it's a pass through system, much like Velocicoaster.
Correct.
Which again stops all the bottlenecking that you get over at Universal Studios and many of their rides. Something else I loved about Tron is I have never seen Tron.
Yeah. I have.
Okay, I mean, when did you see it? How long ago?
It's been some years.
Right? I think much like, now this doesn't set up as much of a story, but we've always said, you know, Flight of Passage, you don't have to have seen Avatar or like it to understand why you're riding it. This backs you up a little bit, but it's not a true pre-show and story and all, but I did not have to know anything about Tron. I could have never heard of Tron or seen an image of Tron, and I would have been like, this ride is awesome.
Okay.
I get what I'm supposed to be. It's 1980s and I'm inside of a game.
You
awesome
should see the movie.
Way.
It's cute.
I'll watch it now at some point. You know I'm not watching Tron Legacy because it's got Jared Leto in it. But
I'm trying to remember if I saw that one. I think I saw them all.
Oh,
I can't remember. I think you were out of town actually. And I don't remember why, but I was like, something was being talked about Tron, and I was like, I'm going to watch that.
I think
again.
I kind of remember that.
And
yeah.
I did.
And you did watch it.
It was good.
But but you don't need to. And I think that's what's amazing about it, is you flat out do not need to watch the movie to absolutely enjoy this ride.
Right. And honestly, I'm not going to lie, even though I've watched it, I cannot tell you and be like, oh yeah, I remember this. Like, yeah, so.
So there's, we've ridden it once, and to be honest, it was very overwhelming in a lot of ways. Like, there is a lot going on. It is a sensory overload.
I look forward to riding it again. Absolutely sensory overload. But what was super cool is we did ask to be up front,
mm-hmm.
and holy moly, that was amazing.
That was the way to go.
That was amazing.
So just going back a little bit, in front row, I would highly recommend you wait for, there is a wow moment that I was not expecting. Again, there's not like a legit really pre-show.
Oh, yeah.
But coming in is amazing. You're looking everywhere. I mean, this dome and all that's coming over you is lit up, and you're seeing the light cycles come flying through, and it's such a cool experience. And then you get in to this slight waiting area before you're going to end up boarding the light cycles, and there's this giant screen in front of you. And then, and I'm honestly trying to, like,
remember
because it was that sensory overload.
Talking about putting you into almost kind of like Flight of
Passage. Into the grid. Yep.
Where you connect, and they were like, okay, hang on. We're going to digitize you or whatever. And then
boom, the screen in front of you basically turns crystal clear, and you're overlooking the entire load station and the light cycles.
That was cool.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, then you get down, we requested front row. The biggest concern I know for people is how they will fit. There are the motorbikes out front that you can test. There was honestly a line, so I was like, I'm not going to bother. I think I'm going to be fine. Like, I've read enough from being tall. the interesting part is the load, because unlike, for example, and I guess the best one would be Hagrid's, is, you got your sidecar and your motorbike.
Right.
And you walk across through the sidecar to get on the motorbike.
Correct.
This one, you do not. There's space between the sets because it's two, going back.
You walk around.
Yeah. So whoever's loading in the first one gets on. The other person walks behind them onto the other side, and they load on.
And it really is safe, and it's really fine.
Yeah.
Poor cast members.
The restraints, shockingly, I fit well. The restraints were extremely comfortable. There's a lot of times Flight of Passage, that back restraint comes up, and I'm like, oh my. This had a hinge on it, mm-hmm. so I actually had a little bit of movement in my back. So the center of the restraint never moved, but the pad could actually move on a hinge a little bit. If that makes sense. I don't know if you were testing it out, but I was not,
which I think maybe next time I will. I actually was just laying on it.
Yeah.
Where I was fine and laying down. But I'm not going to lie, it kind of was hard on my chest.
Uh-huh.
Whereas maybe next time I will kind of sit up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And yes, I know I had that that flexibility too. I just was like, I'm riding a bike. I'm going to be like laying down and all like cool. And it was fine and it was fun.
It was so good. Launch is incredible.
It was so good.
And yeah, you launch in the outside area, you go into the big show building, and there again, there's so much to see and do. In that moment, it when you get inside, it has a feel of a Cosmic Rewind, where you can look around.
Yeah.
And there's a lot going on, and there's screens, and there's other motorbikes, and there's, all these types of things happening. I don't think I told you this. Our friend Chris told me that when he did it, he put his hands out straight like he was Superman. And I was like, that sounds pretty cool. But there are handles you can hold on to. There's two sets, actually, depending on how far you want to be forward. I'll say this is another one of those. Much like Cosmic Rewind, at the end of it, I'm like, my face hurts from smiling so much. Like, my throat is dry because my mouth is just wide open the whole time smiling. Like, your teeth almost hurt because the wind is like ripping through them. I absolutely loved it. And for everyone that complains it's too short, We mentioned before, first of all, it's a copycat, so you knew how long the ride was. Second, the only reason it's too short is because it's so good you just want it to be longer.
I agree.
I didn't feel it was too short as far as what it gave you. Mm-hmm. It's just so good you want more of it.
I agree. 100%.
Right?
Yep.
All right, so that's our Tron preview.
Yep.
We'll ride again in April.
Yay.
Hopefully. It is going to be virtual queue. As well as individual lightning lane. Cosmic Rewind is not this dropping off a virtual queue, which is a little bit shocking to me.
It is shocking, but is so. All right. So in the morning,
mm-hmm.
Do I have to try to be getting a virtual queue for one and you have to try to be getting a virtual queue for the other?
No, because you can only get it for the park that you have a park reservation for.
Okay.
So what I would say, if you want to do both of these in a day, your best bet, and I'm going to take extended evening hours for deluxe resorts out of this when you get that 6 p.m. drop and you could have park hopped, your best bet is to say, all right, I am going to book, just say Epcot. I'm going to go for a virtual queue for Cosmic, and then I'm going to buy an individual lightning lane for Tron later in the afternoon, or vice versa.
Okay.
It's going to be your best way to ride both. So something that we'll look at figuring out here for some of our upcoming trips is what way do we want to do that? Okay. So we'll figure it out. Obviously, we'll do some different testing on whether we have park reservations or we get individual lightning lane, the way the virtual queue works. We don't tend to make reservations for Magic Kingdom. We go there for very specific reasons. This might be a specific reason moving forward. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was
and
super fun.
I will say this. Please. Anyone in Imagineers listening, or Josh or Bob or whoever, can we let this set the precedent for what Tomorrowland is going to finally become? Because this could be the backbone in the future of Tomorrowland. Because you walk in there and you're like, this is the land of tomorrow. All right, let's move on to our number three. Again, I will say, I think the top three, maybe including Tron, possibly are interchangeable. What is number three? This was hard to select these three. Very.
Yeah. So number three, we have Jurassic World Velocicoaster, Islands of Adventure. You have to be 51 inches or taller. And this is only as well 2 minutes at 70 miles per hour.
This feels longer.
It does.
Maybe because when you think you might die,
you don't think
time slows down. No, I know. I love that this. I absolutely love this ride.
Yes.
And anybody who right now is going, this is number one or this is number two, you're right.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I personally think it is the best roller coaster on this list.
Okay.
Hands down. When we get into our top two, if you're doing the math, you're figuring out what two are left. I think they tell more story. Yep. I think it comes down to some of the theming. The theming here is wonderful.
Yeah.
The storyline is great. But it's one of those, once you launch, you're on a roller coaster.
Right.
As opposed to our top two, which I think continue the story throughout.
Yeah.
I still wish that, and I'm going to talk about the Yeti, which has not worked in a very, very long time. I wish that the dinosaurs, the raptors that were within this ride were animatronic as opposed to statues. Now, you're going by him so quick, I honestly don't know that you could see movement, but if it was timed where you're going past one of these raptors and you could see it, and again, I don't know if you could because you're going so quick, that it could swipe at you or you could see its mouth open, I think would be really, really cool and add a little bit extra element. But the second launch into the top hat, the Montesaurus roll, this could easily be number one.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, it's crazy. It's one of those, to me, the reason I feel like it could drop back, because it is great, amazing, and awesome and stuff, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
And the other two is more of that ride where, like, some people might be like, I ain't riding that. That's insane. Or
Velocicoaster.
Yeah. Velocicoaster. I'm not doing that. Like, they see a Rip Ride Rocket. Like, that's too tall. Or that goes upside down too many times. Or it's too fast. Yeah.
Crazy enough, its biggest fault is the fact that you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only if you're worried about it. Because one of its biggest assets is for you to look at and go, I want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like our top two, you don't see from afar and go, I want to do that because I can see it. You don't see anything. Let's move on. Okay, Velocicoaster is absolutely outstanding.
It is.
I do think these top three are completely interchangeable based on your preferences,
it is, but
based
if I
on
have
what
to wear
you want
a patch,
to do. True.
These next two.
You don't have to.
I don't technically have
what
to.
What is number two?
Cosmic Rewind, Epcot. You have to be 42 inches or taller, and this clocks in at 3 minutes and 20 seconds and goes as fast as 60 miles per hour.
It's currently my favorite attraction.
Yeah.
It still is.
It is fun. And I love that I don't have to wear the patch with it. But it is just super fun. I think it's amazing how the way it moves and flows and...
It's the smoothest coaster on this entire list.
Jurassic World's really smooth.
It is, but when you're going 70, there's only as smooth as you can be. Now, what they accomplish at going 70 miles per hour is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, but this is just like...
And there's no upside down.
No. No, there's not. I think it tells a wonderful story throughout. It is just exhilarating in a fun way.
Yeah.
You'll smile ear to ear.
Yeah, it's super
and
fun.
There's also, I mean, shoot, you know, one of the things that's so great about Velocicoaster is everybody can ride it. You know, I mean, you can walk in and say, if you want to ride it, you ride it. It can be posted at 60 minutes. It can be posted at 80 minutes.
Oh,
it's
I'm
never
like,
a bad wait.
You, can't be
you can ride
minutes.
It.
Okay.
You can't.
Okay.
Guarantee a ride on Cosmic Rewind.
Okay. Now I see what you're saying.
I mean, you can guarantee by an individual lightning lane, but even that's not a guarantee if you're staying off property.
Right.
The fact that you can stay off property and say, I'm going to ride Velocicoaster today. You're going to ride Velocicoaster today. Short of breakdowns.
Okay.
You can't say that with Cosmic.
Okay.
I think that's one of the things that makes Cosmic so much better in a weird way. Okay. I hate to say it, but you wake up. Nobody wants to get up at 6:55 and be on their phone at 7 and refreshing and dealing with all this junk and
but
possibly not getting it. But man, when you get it, it is so cool.
Yeah.
And you're taking screenshots and you're turning over and going, hey, I got it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
What could possibly be left that could beat these two roller coasters?
Hopefully everybody's like, oh, I know what it is. All right. You ready? Let's say it together.
Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure. Also known as HMCMA. I hope nobody calls it that.
I do too.
By the way, saying the full name was for you, John.
Islands of Adventure. You have to be 48 inches or taller, and this clocks in at 2 minutes and 55 seconds and goes as fast as 50 miles per hour. This is so fun. I think the fact that, and if you haven't ridden it, spoiler alert, so skip forward, it drops.
I still don't understand it.
But it literally stays on, like, how did Josh say it? Like, it's the same track. It just
I know.
Drops
the entire
down.
Track with the entire train cart drops.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's exhilarating every single time.
It's amazing.
It's forwards, it's backwards. There's nothing like being in that bike. And revving, it doesn't even rev, but every time I'm turning those handles, every time I'm doing it, it is so good.
It is.
And
the story behind
yeah,
it. Like,
I think when you take through all the elements of story, of theming, of thrill.
The only thing that it doesn't do is
like,
upside down.
No.
But it drops forwards, backwards, speed.
Oh, I love it. And for me, we never get to ride it because we're not going to wait standby. We don't tend to get there early enough. I mean, we can talk to Tina tonight. We'll have the early entry. Oh, no, I don't even know if it opens early entry right now. I got to look at that again, but we may have to just rope drop it Friday and do it. It's been forever since we've ridden. I miss the virtual queue days because we could ride it.
Because we're spending the night Thursday. Yeah. We're going down Thursday.
So we could
Thursday
try it Friday morning.
Are we going down Thursday morning?
Oh, yeah. Thursday morning.
We're going.
Yep.
Then we're going to go.
And then we'll spend all day Thursday at Universal. Thursday evening, our Express Pass kicks in at 4 with Velocicoaster now available.
Ooh.
So that'll be our first time testing that out. And Friday morning, you know, before we head out, maybe we go ahead and decide. Let's try Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure.
And then like, she'll want to ride Velocicoaster again.
We could do it again. I'd be okay with that.
So all right, funny.
That is our top 16. That but is. Before we are done, Rhonda, we got a little extra. Because if you were to rank all of these rides and you wanted to talk about the top five according to speed, number five, Tron, comes in at 59 miles per hour. Number four, Cosmic Rewind at 60 miles per hour. Number three, Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket at 65 miles per hour. Number two, the Incredible Hulk Coaster at 67 miles per hour. And our number one is Jurassic World Velocicoaster coming in at 70 miles per hour.
Woo!
But wait, there's more.
Oh my goodness.
Order now and you can double. If we're talking about length of ride, you want the most bang for your buck, what is the longest? Coming in at number five is Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventure at 2 minutes and 55 seconds. Number four is Revenge of the Mummy, 2 minutes and 57 seconds. Number three is Cosmic Rewind, 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Number two is Big Thunder Mountain, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And number one, of course, is Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts at a whopping 5 minutes.
Yes!
That's a Dollar Store Lynn Testa moment right there.
Okay.
And proud of it.
Good job, babe.
As always, we want to hear your opinion. This was our opinion. If you want, please respond on social media. Give us your top five between these parks. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that love SeaWorld, we can go out to Busch Gardens in Tampa that I know has some wonderful coasters. I would love to hear what you think competes with some of these Walt Disney World and Universal Orlando coasters. Of course, if you want all these new episodes, you can hit that subscribe button. You get them every Tuesday and Friday. If you want to see everything that we've got coming up live as it happens in our private Facebook group, you can check out our Patreon group at wonderlandcrew.com. And finally, you're on the internet. It'll take you like 30 seconds. Would you please leave us a rating and review?
Because it helps our show grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.
Jeremy and Rhonda are more than a little fond of Disney World, so they made this podcast to share it all with you. Reports and resorts, top 10 lists of all sorts, Main Street Magic's bringing it home for you.